The main issue that we're seeing out there in a lot of healthcare environments is humidity control. It's very challenging. It's risky. It has big implications for patient outcomes in our ORs, in our ICUs, in our patient rooms, everywhere throughout the hospitals. And it seems like something that should be relatively simple, but in reality, it's quite complex. So we're really hyper-focused on making it easier and more reliable control of humidity in these spaces.
Every day, they slay the dragons of healthcare-acquired infections and dangerous microbial fire breathers. While you may not see them during your next hospital stay, they will be there ensuring the safest possible surgeries by skillfully wielding their disinfecting weapons of mass microbial destruction. They are sterile processing professionals. And this is Beyond Clean, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the global sterile processing industry forward. Join us every week as we introduce you to the unsung heroes, leaders, and innovators who are fighting dirty around the globe. And now, it's time to go Beyond Clean.
On this vendor spotlight, we speak with Jim Meacham and Jim Johnston from Altair Systems. Altair is a U.S.-made, veteran-owned HVAC humidity control company that manufactures revolutionary yet simple products for controlling humidity in the healthcare environment. They say their guiding principles for the ADAPT product line are to make a simple, cost-effective solution to deliver healthy, high-quality, and comfortable air to indoor environments. Jim Meacham is a founding principal of Altair, where he is responsible for product development, engineering, technical sales support, and product commissioning. As a California registered mechanical engineer, Jim has directly managed scores of HVAC improvement projects across healthcare, institutional, resort, and commercial office sectors. Leveraging an extensive background in HVAC control systems and experience as an educator, he is highly skilled at working with project management teams to implement leading-edge, data-driven solutions that deliver meaningful and lasting results. And Jim Johnston is also a founding principal of Altair Systems. Mr. Johnston has 16 years in the HVAC, construction, and energy efficiency market. He is a former Marine Corps helicopter crew chief, currently based in St. Louis, Missouri, and has been responsible for large national and international mechanical and electrical construction projects. So this is a whole new engineering angle for us, Hank, and I love the fact that we're going to be talking about air quality. Not a better time to be doing so, because I know everyone is looking at controlling the air quality in hospitals, especially related to viruses and specifically COVID-19.
That's right, Justin. There's more and more attention coming in to Beyond Clean from plant facility managers, clinical engineers, really looking at how these topics of heating and ventilation really impact all of surgical services, and not just surgical services, but the hospital at large. And I'm very excited to hear this story from these gentlemen today about not only their company, but the solutions that their company are providing to these teams.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Jim Johnston and Jim Meacham, both principals with Altair Systems, LLC. Jim Johnston, thanks for joining us.
Hi, my pleasure. Thanks for having us.
And Jim Meacham, you guys aren't making it easy on me. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
All right, gentlemen. Well, this is an episode that Hank and I have been really excited to record, because it's really around a topic that we haven't covered in the past. And we've nearly 150 episodes in the book, so we're really excited to talk about this one with you today. I think we should start from the beginning, which is an introduction to your company. How is it founded, and really what space are you in the healthcare industry?
Altair Systems is a veteran-owned, U.S.-made HVAC dehumidification company. We manufacture what we call our ADAPT line of products. And the reason we're talking today is we believe all of our units are tailor-made to be a solution for healthcare facilities that are really struggling with humidity-related issues, be they mold, mildew, unhealthy conditions in critical environments, ORs, NICUs, whatever the case. or just to be able to provide essentially comfortable environment for all the patients, staff in hospitals, MOBs, surgical suites, whatever the case. Our history is a little bit different than most companies. A little over a year and a half, both Jim Meacham and myself were in the middle of the fifth floor of a building in Central Asia, looking to be able to solve an issue that has been essentially the bane of the industry's existence, which is how do you properly take out humidity out of the air? We were looking outside, watching some interesting things going on when Jim made the statement, if we could just treat the air at its source. And that was essentially the seminal statement of where our company started, because it allowed us to be able to provide a dehumidification solution that was with a few existing technologies, some existing standard practices, a very, very simple solution with essentially the magic that goes along with controls protocols that we bring, and allows us to really be able to treat all the air that's coming into buildings, be they large, small, complex, whatever the case is, at its source, which is the outside air.
You know, what was really interesting to me as I was learning more about Altair Systems in preparing for this interview was really the fact that you very much exist in a commodity market. But then there's this whole innovation disruption in the space that you've brought. And we'll talk more about how it's modular and easy to install and your focus on, you know, really a green initiative in healthcare. But another thing that stood out to me was that you're veteran-owned and American-made company founded by experienced engineers. And as a disruptive and innovative company ourselves at Beyond Clean, it's something that really resonated with me.
Yeah, and that was just kind of the perfect time with supply chains being disrupted, the fact that everybody wants to be investing back in America and being able to solve the solutions domestically rather than internationally. It's kind of a perfect time. And with my background, especially being a crew chief in the Marines, back in what seems like a former life again, our solution, especially with the ADAPT line of products, not only is it saving lives in hospitals, but it's also a very, very well tailored to protect all the men and women that are out on the front lines and the support staff back in the bases across the U.S.
Okay, Jim. So it sounds like your focus was really on clean, safe, and energy-efficient systems when you developed the ADAPT line.
Yeah, that's correct. Our guiding ethos was to make our unit as simple, safe for everyone downstream, and as energy-efficient as possible, which has been a real issue in the past, is how these issues have been handled. Our design, our controls protocol, everything is clean, fresh, quality air coming off the back of our unit in the most energy-efficient manner, and our ADAPT line of products is the only one out there that actually saves energy rather than introduces an entirely new energy load that's required to drive the system.
So Jim Meacham, can you talk to us about the state of the market as you're bringing this product in? What are the problems? Can you define the problems that you're solving?
The main issue that we're seeing out there in a lot of healthcare environments is humidity control. It's very challenging. It's risky. It has big implications for patient outcomes in our ORs, in our ICUs, in our patient rooms, everywhere throughout the hospitals. And it seems like something that should be relatively simple, but in reality, it's quite complex. So we're really hyper-focused on making it easier and more reliable control of humidity in these spaces.
You know, it's interesting because right now I think air quality is really at the forefront of discussion when we hear of everything going on right now around COVID and the aerosolization of the virus. And I just always wonder, you know, having been a nurse and worked in the hospital environment, you know, you can see hospitals are doing all these constructions to create different air exchange environments to be able to manage and decrease the spread of that virus. Sometimes they're blocking out additional floors to be able to quarantine those types of patients. How does ventilation rate and HVAC and fresh air play into all of that?
Sure. That's a great question. There's a lot there. It's actually pretty complex, as I imagine most of your audience can appreciate. I'll actually start with humidity, because humidity plays a big role in disease propagation too, COVID and other diseases as well, regular flus and a number of other potential vectors. So one of the main ideas in humidity control is to keep the range pretty tight in the middle, like 40% to 60% relative humidity. And that's what's really the sweet spot for ensuring patient safety. One of the tricks is then having the proper ventilation rate at those humidity rates. So as we start to try to increase our fresh air ventilation rates from the outdoor, which we want for viruses like COVID that can become aerosols, or at least the early research is showing that it could potentially aerosolize, then we want to increase those outside air ventilation rates. But that can come at a cost of trying to maintain humidity rates. As you can imagine, if we have really wet, moist outside air, we're trying to bring more of that into our systems, and we're trying to keep our humidity below 60%. That's a real challenge. So the interplay between, hey, how do we have proper ventilation rates to protect our healthcare workers who are out there really fighting on the front lines, to protect the patients, to reduce spread? It starts with that fresh air and being able to control those ventilation rates, which our unit allows you to do. We're augmenting the capacity of the existing systems, really a simple way to bolt in really at the front of those existing systems and treat that air so that we can increase those ventilation rates if we need to and still maintain the proper humidity.
Jim, you've been talking about the complexities involved in humidity control, but I'm wondering if you could take us a little bit deeper into why it's actually so hard to control that in the hospital environment.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of folks wonder this on a day-to-day basis. Our facilities operators are out there doing the best they can with the systems they have. And that's a really great question as to why is this so hard? And it comes down to a few key components. Humidity is an interesting concept. It's actually relative humidity is what we look at, and it's measured in a percent, like it's 60% relative humidity. And that's the humidity at a given dry bulb temperature, or the temperature of the air that you feel. The way that you reduce humidity in HVAC, which is the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems in hospitals, is by making the air colder. And as you can imagine, just like when you walk outside on a hot summer day with your iced tea and the water starts forming on the outside, that's the moisture in the air condensing out of the air and onto your glass because it's cold. That's exactly what happens in these ventilation systems. And we're using the cooling effect to actually pull all the water out of the air. That's how we dehumidify. So one of the interesting features of thermodynamics in this case is the colder you make the air, it's actually the relative humidity goes up because that air now has less capacity for holding water, relatively less capacity. So our relative humidity goes up. So we have this confounding issue of we try to make it drier. The car analogy is we're driving our car, we hit the gas pedal, we're trying to get to a certain humidity level, so we have to cool the air. But as we continue to cool the air and we hit the pedal harder and harder, our air gets colder and colder, our rooms are getting colder and colder, and we need to dry the air out more and more, so we keep mashing the pedal, and eventually we don't have any pedal left. And so that's what our operators are dealing with primarily, is the systems simply don't have the capacity to achieve the conditions that we want in these spaces. It's very common that that's the case. We really have one way of controlling the system when we're really trying to control two things, and that's how much moisture is coming in a space and what's the temperature. We'd like to control those separately, which is what our ADAPT units allow you to do.
Yeah, so can you go into then how the ADAPT solution meets the challenges that you referenced? How does it give users the tools and technology then to overcome what you've been describing, which is a real challenge across geographies and across the globe, really, no matter where you're at, in that balance of nature and technology?
Yeah, it's a great question. We look at it as we need to decouple these two functions, as I was just mentioning. One thing we're trying to do with our ventilation systems is properly dehumidify that air, make the air dry. The other thing we're trying to do with our HVAC systems is make the temperature in the spaces comfortable. Those are two different things. And right now, in most HVAC system designs, you really only have one method of control. What we're doing with the ADAPT unit is adding our unit to the outside air stream. So now all of that outside air that's bringing in the majority of the moisture to the building, you can imagine a July summer day and all the humidity that we're trying to bring in as we're trying to meet these high ventilation rates for most of our spaces, and even wanting to increase ventilation rates now, like in the COVID examples we were discussing. So that moisture that's typically just brought into the system and handled by this kind of one pedal system, in my analogy of the car, we're breaking that apart and saying, nope, we're going to make the air dry and cool before it goes into the system. And then now the system that's already in place, can handle the ventilation rates and the thermal comfort cooling that's needed in the spaces. So we effectively decouple that. Our system handles everything upstream. You don't have to worry about the moisture anymore and just let the downstream systems make it comfortable in the spaces.
That's really interesting. So this is almost like a modular augmentation to the existing system so that it doesn't become overwhelmed with the job it's already trying to do and then coming up short in controlling environments, especially ones that require such a great deal of control, which would be the surgical environments especially.
That's right. Yeah. And that goes back to what Jim Johnson was saying at the intro here, as he and I were out in that fifth floor mechanical room. The modular component we feel is very important. It needs to be easy to bolt our systems in place in these critical environment systems. We don't want to take downtimes of these systems. You know, we can't go in and change the whole system out while it's operating. We really don't have that luxury in this case. We designed it so that we could bolt in place, treat all that air before it goes into the system and leave the existing systems operational and really start to protect those systems from all that moisture ever even getting inside.
And Jim Johnston, I heard an interview that you did on another podcast really focused on an engineering audience. But one of the things you talked about that I think will really resonate with a broad audience is the common issues that you would find in today's systems, like mold and mildew, even mushrooms, and then rust, which is a little bit more easy to understand. But that whole mold, mildew, mushrooms, rust, like, can you paint a picture about where that actually exists today? And then maybe for people that are especially, again, clinical in nature, who are working in sterile processing, working in the operating room, like, how would they know that some of those issues were in play and that the air handler wasn't working correctly to help them be effective in controlling the spread of infection by having the right humidity and the right temperature of air in those environments?
That brings up a really interesting topic, and it really comes down to what's happening inside the occupied spaces in the building, whether they're struggling to stay below 60% relative humidity during the summertime. You start to feel that cold, clammy feeling as you walk down the hallways, offices, surgical suites, and really you start seeing a lot of condensation on the instruments and signs of mold growth around registers and in the ductwork.
All right, Jim, that's very insightful. So what materials would go into the design that would help prevent those issues from occurring?
What will really prevent the rust and the other mold-related issues from occurring is the fact that we've made our modular unit out of 5052 aluminum, which is the exact metal that they make fast tracker boats out of. And then everything we couldn't do 5052 aluminum out of, we made with 316 stainless, so our unit is essentially impervious to rust.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting about your system is that it's modular, and maybe not everybody listening knows what a great benefit that is, but can you talk about what the advantage is to being modular?
The advantages to being modular are the fact that with a unit that can go into anywhere in the built environment, turns down corridors, being able to be brought up through a service elevator and walked into a mechanical room. The biggest benefit of that is the reduction in overall capital cost to be able to install our unit. So you don't have to knock out cinder block walls. You don't have to rent a crane to be able to sling the unit into the mechanical room. It really reduces the amount of disruption that a typical HVAC upgrade will cause to the existing facility. And it also allows for the applicability of our unit in a lot more spaces that typically most other units are restricted to.
Yeah, you know, not having to get that capital cost approved and also not having to knock down walls, I got to think that the timeline for implementation is pretty quick too. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. We can go in, have one of our units installed overnight and have it up and running the next morning with minimal disruption to the existing facility, if at all.
All right. So these air handlers, they're typically found on like the roof, but you mentioned that they were modular and you could bring them in through a regular service elevator. And I think a key takeaway there is it's a low impact add-on. I wondered, do you see with all of this construction and expansion that goes on with hospitals, do they sometimes do that construction and expansion without regard for the capacity of the existing HVAC system?
That happens all the time. The reality of our healthcare spaces is that they're pretty dynamic from a programming perspective, and use changes happen all the time. I've seen gift shops get turned into parts of sterile storage and even patient room areas. So we all know that there's some pretty crazy things that happen, and it's very difficult once you already have this ventilation infrastructure in place to meet those demands. So we certainly look at our ADAPT unit as a way of increasing the flexibility of the existing systems. Since we're, again, managing all that outside air load, we can increase ventilation rates without impacting the function of the existing air handlers. Like, normally you can't just turn up the amount of outside air that you send to an air handler because it was designed for a very specific condition. But once we're treating all that outside air before it enters the system, we don't have to worry about that anymore. So now we can increase ventilation rates. We can meet new needs as we change uses in these spaces continuously, or as the research shows that we need more ventilation. Maybe 4 or 5 air changes of outside air isn't sufficient anymore. Maybe we need 6 or 7 air changes of outside air, and we can now meet that with the ADAPT unit by putting that upstream of the existing systems.
Speaking of meeting needs, you know, energy saving, energy conservation is a huge focus today for healthcare systems to have a focus on green solutions. Can you speak to where this system fits in that larger focus for healthcare administrators?
Dehumidification in particular is extremely energy intensive. It's just the nature of trying to pull water out of air. It takes a lot of energy. And that's really one of the genesis of the product, is in coming from an energy perspective. I think as it's evolved, it really is most effective when we think about it from a risk and safety performance perspective. But energy is certainly an important piece. And the way that we're improving the energy efficiency of these systems is a couple of different ways, actually. One is our system has some really interesting integrated heat recapture and reuse on board. So what typically happens with HVAC systems is when you dehumidify that air, when you cool it down to get it really dry, you have to subcool it down, maybe in an OR environment, 47 or 48 degrees. This is very cold air. And that air is saturated. It's at 100% relative humidity. That's a problem for sending down into the space, because you don't want to send 100% relative humidity into a space. Everything it touches is going to condense. We're going to have that condensing issue. And I think pretty much everyone has probably seen registers up on the ceiling where the supply air comes out, and there's black around that register, which is often from this air coming out subcooled. It's very cold. It condenses, and then mold can grow in those areas. Often what you do to prevent that is cool it way down and then you reheat it back up. So we're using the energy twice. You have to overcool it, then we have to reheat it. That's very energy intensive because we need to heat it up to make sure it doesn't condense in the space, and also that we don't overcool the spaces and start having other issues of condensing on instrumentation, which often happens in some of our SPD environments. Our unit has integrated reheat on board, where we actually use some of the incoming energy to reheat that air as it leaves, so we don't have to introduce another energy source. So we're able to accomplish all that dehumidification and actually cancel out that reheat. So we get to save it twice, because we put it back in the air, which means we take it out from having to use it from our big chilled water system. So we actually reduce that load on our existing chilled water systems, and then we're eliminating that need for that reheat downstream. So we really get to save it twice.
That's fantastic. You know, the other thing that you told me, as we were talking about that operating room environment, was that you're able to do that dry heat during off hours and then ramp it back up 2 to 3 hours before the surgery schedule starts up again the next morning, and that there's cost savings there without compromising the surgical environment and the parameters that need to be held there. Can you describe that a little bit more, and even just tell us from a clinical perspective, how does that all help perioperative directors improve the delivery of care?
We call that our nighttime protection mode. With a lot of healthcare environments, critical care, even office environments, they're not really able to set these systems back. When I say set a system back, I mean change the temperature in the space when it's not being used. It makes sense, of course, if we're not in the operating room after 8 o'clock at night and it's in summertime, we don't want to keep that operating room at 65 degrees. We'd like to make the room 70, 75 degrees so we don't have to waste that energy. But in this case, you might even want to allow it to get colder so you're not spending extra reheat energy. Whatever the case may be, you really want to be able to change that temperature criteria when no one's in there. And what happens is, in a lot of critical environments, we can't increase the temperature because we need all that cooling to happen for dehumidification purposes. And this goes back to our kind of core design principle of decoupling the temperature control from the dehumidification control so that we can still provide very dry air to the space, but we no longer have to overcool or overheat that space while it's not in use because we're providing all the required dehumidification. So we have humidity handled, and then all we have to do when an hour or two before it's time to open the surgery suite back up or whatever it may be, is come back in the thermal comfort control, which is very quick. It's the humidity control, which is a much slower action. So we always stay in control of that with our nighttime protection mode. And then we're just using the existing systems to modulate those temperature requirements to match the occupancy.
If I can dovetail on that as well, with regard to the energy savings, and this is more speaking to the operating room managers and facilities maintenance people, especially for geographies that are really east of the Mississippi, it is a continual fight between the people that are trying to provide the utmost in patient care and every hour having to mark down, because it's part of a JCO requirement, what the space temperature and relative humidity are in the operating rooms, one for a liability standpoint and two for essentially avoidance of patient readmittance. There's a corollary that goes along with that, because when you get those high temperature and high humidity environments, say South Florida, really just anywhere down the southeast where they need to keep their systems cranking 24/7 just to be able to maintain the load, our ADAPT products essentially will allow the facilities management people that are continually fighting the battle on a daily basis, one, to be able to reduce operating expense, and two, to be able to provide capacity to those critical care areas of the hospital, with us being able to decouple the latent from the sensible load, with us being able to provide the right kind of conditions in a minimally invasive manner. This allows all the facilities maintenance people to serve everyone downstairs that just wants the cold, fresh, clean, properly comfortable air, additional capacity without having to add in bigger chillers, bigger air handlers, supplemental capacity, all while reducing the energy consumption and not having to take a massive amount of time away from their critical process, which is to keep the facilities running. It's a seamless way to be able to address a very, very complex problem in a simple manner.
I want to add one more refocus here, though, because I think energy is very important. And I spent a lot of my career looking at energy and energy efficiency, and I don't want to minimize that. But the reality here is that better humidity control leads to better patient outcomes. And that's what we're all about. It really is about being able to control that humidity in the space better and make sure that we're within those bounds under a variety of conditions, you know, whether the doctor wants it at 62 degrees or 68 degrees, we need to be able to provide that environment. And that's what our unit allows you to do. And the research is clear that there's fewer infections that are spread when the humidity is properly controlled. We want to lead there. And then the great bonus that we're bringing too is this energy efficiency aspect.
On top of all those key features and benefits, you know, that we've been discussing around energy saving, et cetera, what other benefits should the audience be aware of?
There's a few that I would highlight for our unit. I think one is maintainability. A lot of other solutions that are out there on the market, because obviously we're not the only ones looking at this dehumidification problem. There's a lot of other solutions out there. A lot of them involve pretty complex systems with desiccants or large wheels that move air around spaces, which have a lot of complexity in most of the other solutions on the market. And the good news about our unit is in its base configuration, we have no real moving parts. We have none of these wheels or desiccants or specialty glycol loops. And the maintenance, it's even simpler actually than the existing air handling units that are already in place. All you got to do is change the filters and clean the unit once a year. So it's really simple. So maintainability is a key element of how we designed our unit. One other aspect that we have been really hyper-focused on as we've designed our unit is that it's fully engineered and that it comes with everything that it needs to work kind of out of the box. Jim Johnson mentioned earlier, there's a lot of issues with the typical approach of everything being custom-built, bespoke solutions. And that has its place in terms of giving architects and engineers their freedom to design. But when we're thinking about something as critical as humidity control in a healthcare environment, we really don't want to rely on custom field-built solutions. So our unit is effectively a box. It comes with everything it needs, all the controls it needs on board, already shipped from the factory, so that you can effectively just bring 120-volt power to it, set it, and make the final ductwork connections to the existing systems, power it up and go, which we feel is really important because so much of what happens to these systems is because they're too complex. Someone provided a piece of equipment. Somebody else was supposed to figure out how to control it. That never got done right, and it just doesn't work. So we really feel, again, because of the criticality of this outside air situation for bringing in that fresh air in a controlled way, our unit has some real benefits of being fully engineered, really plug and play.
Yeah, it sounds really simple, powerful, efficient, and a quality build that is a low impact to make up for deficiencies with existing systems out there in the field. What other benefits do you want to make sure that we mention?
So one more that I would add, and this gets back to the risk element associated with these ventilation rates. Right now, it's very difficult to know in any hospital environment, healthcare environment, whether we actually are or are not bringing in the right amount of outside air. It's really hard to measure. Airflow measurement is just a tricky thing to do. And that's a whole nother engineering discussion. But we took that into account when we were designing our unit because we think understanding how much outside air you're actually bringing in is really important. And verifying that you're bringing in the right amount of outside air all the time is really important. It's just hard to do with current technologies. Because of some of the design features of our unit, we're actually able to, in a highly reliable way, tell you what the actual outside airflow rate is without really complex instrumentation because we're able to characterize our unit. Again, it's not a site-built thing. Because we can actually characterize this unit in the laboratory, we know what that airflow rate is under any given condition. That allows us to really manage the risk around outside air. And if we ever have situations where, for whatever reason, we're not bringing in the proper amount of ventilation, we send those notifications to the operator's phones. We can get those notifications to environmental health and safety, whoever needs to be in that critical email chain so that we understand when something may have failed, something may have gotten stuck, somebody turned something off when they're doing maintenance and forgot to turn it back on. All these things that happen in real life, our unit's designed to look for and make sure that we're protecting.
All right, gentlemen, you're both available for product-specific web-based conference calls, on-site facility evaluations, partner training. They can engage you through your vendor representative network. They can visit the website, altairesystems.com. That's A-L-T-A-I-R-E, systems.com. Email for Jim Johnston is jjohnston, J-J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, at altairesystems.com, or you can reach out to Jim Meacham, J-M-E-A-C-H-A-M, at altairesystems.com. And I think one thing that they can request when they reach out to you directly is the white paper. Can you just give everybody some information on the white paper? We're also going to be providing a link, or depending on the podcast application, you'll be able to download it directly because we'll have it attached to this podcast. But what's in the white paper that can really help prospective customers understand the benefit to what you're doing and engage their partners in the facility to help improve their HVAC systems and their air handlers specifically?
Sure. The sole purpose of that white paper is to provide a visual representation of what our ADAPT unit looks like, source materials for a lot of the issues that we've referenced, and also a fair bit of information that a lot of people may or may not know, whether it's related to COVID-19 or just indoor quality standards and rates that need to be applied to existing hospitals and existing healthcare facilities, plus a few other things that we think people may find interesting, and then how to be able to reach us as well.
Jim Johnston, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Appreciate the time today.
Jim Meacham, you as well. Nice job, gentlemen. As we mentioned, just love innovators, disruptors who are nimble and agile and also really easy to work with. So, Jim Meacham, thanks for coming on.
It's great to be here, and thanks for the opportunity.
That was Jim Johnston and Jim Meacham, principals with Altair Systems. And Hank, this is a topic we have not covered on previous episodes of Beyond Clean. And being that they're both engineers, great deal of technical information to be shared there, but also some really good signs of how to know when your air handler is not working properly and what the clinical implications are. Some of the things I love about this company, as you know, I just love an innovator and a disruptor, but especially in a commodity market like this one. They're veteran-owned and an American-based manufacturer, which is also very excellent, but the green aspect too. Everybody is always looking, and there's incentives incentives for hospitals to be more energy efficient, and they bring that to the table as well.
And just talking collaboratively, we encourage our audience, no matter where they are clinically, if they're running facilities, if they're making purchasing decisions in the HVAC space, or if they're on the front lines in the operating room or in sterile processing, air matters and quality air matters. And we know, because we measure humidity and temperature constantly in the clinical setting, we know that it's important. And I'm excited to share this content out there across the spectrum, no matter where the audience is, to provide potentially some additional solutions and options to target this in the healthcare setting.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's Vendor Spotlight. As a reminder, you can help support Beyond Clean by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review, because your feedback is important to the show. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Hank and myself, thank you for listening to this week's Vendor Spotlight on Beyond Clean.